This episode of The Instance is brought to us by your help over at patreon.com/frogpants. Do you love The Instance? I know we do, and helping keeping it around is part of your job. So head on over to patreon.com/frogpants, and for tiny bits of money a month, you too can help us live long and prosper. That's patreon.com/frogpants. Now on with the show.
Reforging.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 399. This is Saturday, January 31st, 2015, the very tip end of the month of January, which is totally weird to think about. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today by a couple of guest hosts. My goodness, let's start right over here with Roger White, a.k.a. Ralph. You know him. You know this guy. What's going on, Ralph?
Not a whole lot. I finished up my Garrison stuff today, and I had a little lunch, and then you called.
I got a question about how you handle your Garrison stuff, because, we'll get to that. Also with us, John Jagger is also here. Hello, John.
Hello, Scott. How are you today?
I'm fine. Co-host of podcasts in their own right. Fine WoW podcast, a member of our raid team, and an all-around good guy, with the one exception being their staunch decision to not have a normal time zone in Arizona. Other than that, it's fine.
No, we have the most consistent time zone.
It just never changes.
Yeah, we're not wishy-washy like everybody else. We stick to it.
When I was a kid, tell me if this is how far-fetched dumb this is or not. When I was a kid, I was led to believe that if you didn't change the time zone, like we do here in Utah or most of the country, it would eventually get to the point that at noon lunchtime it would be pitch black, and at 3 a.m. it'd be nice sunny midday. Like eventually the clock would be so out of kilter that you would just be screwed all year. And I guess that was all a lie. It's like Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy.
That seems like a reasonable thought, though. For a moment, I thought you were going to say if you didn't change it, you know, goblins would come for you or something.
Nope. No, sir, no. Well, anyway, it's good to have you both here. Thank you for being here. I don't know where everybody else is. They all just didn't kind of show up today, so I don't know what happened there. I know Terpster is in the thick of fatherhood, and as it turns out, that is a challenge. I've been there. I've done that. Still doing that. I know how it is. Patrick had a thing with his father who's visiting, and I don't know where Dills is. So here you guys are in their stead, in their place, vicariously living through their lives.
It's exciting.
So let's talk about, just real quick before we get into the news and stuff, and there is stuff today, a lot of calls and emails because that's the kind of week this is. But Roger, you mentioned doing your, by the way, I'm not used to calling you Roger. I always refer to him as Ralph.
I answer to both.
Yeah. I know, it's weird. Does anyone outside of your WoW friends and sort of gamer community, do they refer to you as Ralph, or is this it?
I told some friends about this podcast that I do, and they listen to it, and they're like, but you're not on it. Who are you? And you're Ralph.
Because we bring it up all the time, yeah.
And the only other thing that's weird is I found myself calling myself Ralph. I'm like driving around in a parking lot, and I can't find a spot. And I'm like, come on, Ralph, where is it? Where's it going to be a good spot? And I was like, who am I? What am I doing here?
Yeah, I don't do that with GURP. I don't think any of us do that. I think you may be the only guy I've ever talked to who refers to himself in the...
I think I've identified too much with it.
You might have. So, all right. So, Garrisons. I've come to a point with Garrisons, and I know that this is not how... Obviously, there are ways to go very extreme with Garrisons and micromanage everything and know the best times to eliminate one building and replace it with another, and when the best time is to, start doing certain things with followers when you hit certain levels and they all get to a certain point and all this stuff. But I've gotten to a place where I get in, I get my free Garrison resources that just show up at the door there. I go gather whatever gatherings I've got and send all my people off on missions, collect whatever they came back with, go take my stuff at where you get the stuff and you go take it to the lady and you dump it off.
What's that stuff? The salvage yard.
Salvage yard. Yes. Jeez Louise. I wanted to call it the Home Depot. What the hell's wrong with me? Anyway, That's a question. That's a
I think that's a good name for it, though.
The Home Depot. And then I repair whatever else is sort of hanging around. And then I just kind of go, I don't want to go in the mine. I don't want to go. I'm not worried about herbs today. I should probably do that daily for the stables. I don't really feel like doing that today. Like, I'm kind of having that. I'm getting that to that place with Garrison's where I don't feel like anything more than just the quick rounds of gather everything up that's easy and quick and that directly affects me. I mean, I want to get herbs and therefore I want to go get flasks made because I want to raid with those flasks and not be dependent on other people. And there's things like that, but they're really easy and quick. But beyond that, I mean, am I crazy? Should I be min-maxing more in my Garrison?
I don't think you're crazy.
Yeah.
I'm the laziest person in the world in my Garrisons. My mines may have burned down. Mm. There may have been a cave-in that I don't even know about.
There could be hundreds of trapped goblins in there, dude.
They're skeletons by now. Because I don't go down there. The herb garden, I feel like I should go check it out, but it's all the way over there in that cave.
You have to mount up to make it any quicker, and you got to go over that bridge if you're on that side. Bridge. Oh, good Lord. Yeah, I don't know. Ralph, you feel that way?
So I did the same thing with the Garrison as I did with most games, which is I look at what looks like it's going to be fun, and then I do that, and then not a whole lot of min-maxing. But I got partway into it, and all of a sudden I don't have any Garrison resources, can't get anything done. So I switched a few buildings around, and now I'm hovering around like 7,000 Garrison resources all the time.
Yeah. It's about where I'm at, like 85.
I'm kind of OCD. I have to do the mine every day. Yeah. But I also, I'm blacksmithing and jewel crafting.
Mm.
And those things, those really help my character, right? And I kind of been treating it as this OCD thing to do every day, but also it really helps my tune.
That's true. I have this tendency to rely on all our mutual friend Dark Anders, aka Matt Anderson, who's always got a gem for me. So all I got to do is walk into an instance he's in, and he'll say, "Missing that meta and that agility gem, are you?" And then lays it on me. So I kind of got a little sugar daddy business going on there that I don't have to worry about. But I honestly, I kind of wish I had more mind dependent stuff to worry about, because it's just stockpiling into oblivion. I've got these like infinite amounts of ore. And other things that I've gained in there, and they just sit in my bank. In fact, I built a storehouse just for that. Cause,
I got to the point where I thought I had like that stockpiles of stuff.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I had to start making some blacksmith items or the essences that upgrade your items.
Yeah.
That boom, I'm back down to zero. So
interesting. It's funny. Cause you said something, and John, you'll have to tell me if you agree with this, but I feel like there's a general sense out there that people are wanting to get back to finding where the fun bit is and not worry about the min-maxing so much. There's always going to be the crowd who does, but more and more I'm hearing that refrain when I bring up something like, all right, so you're checking all your Garrison stuff every day, and they'll go, well, I've decided with this expansion, I'm going for what is fun for me. There's a lot of that being talked about or bandied about. And I don't know if that should... So I guess it didn't surprise me, but I guess it's just more common than I thought. I thought more people, like, I felt some Garrison pressure early on to be the best Garrison runner I could ever be, because clearly that's going to be a really important thing in this expansion. And if I want to compete or not be embarrassed when somebody visits my Garrison, boy, I better be on top of this stuff. And it turns out, a lot of people are kind of like Patrick a couple of weeks ago. He's like, I'm just doing what I like. And if I don't like that, I'm not doing it. And
I heard people talking in guild chat, and these are people who are used to running 3, 4, 5, 8 level hundreds. Yeah. You know, they level them all up.
Yeah.
They've been forced into this approach because you can't do that. You got, you know, 8 100s or even 4 100s.
Mm-hmm.
That's just too much Garrison stuff to do all the time.
Yeah. It's a lot, right? I can't do it.
I think my peons are going to just rebel against me, because my method for Garrison is I will go in and just say, yeah, this seems fine. I don't know. Why don't we tear down all these buildings and put something else up? And then they get done and I look at it and I go, you know, I don't know if I need the stables anymore. Maybe let's change that to a barracks and let's switch this around. I feel like I have so many resources at this point that I just go in and I'm constantly changing it. And I imagine these poor workers are just, you know, finally they're done.
It's like the perpetual gentrification of your garrison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My final garrison invasion is going to be called mutiny, and they're just all going to turn on me.
That's awesome. Actually, that would be really fun. They should put that into the game. 6.1, here's your idea. Blizzard, write these down. Have the rebellion come from within, and have it only if somebody swaps out, let's say, six different buildings, hit the achievement, then suddenly all the green men from within are out for blood. It's a brilliant idea.
That'd be
great.
That'd be a fun invasion, actually.
I like it a lot. It's a great idea. Anyway, just some thinking, just some thoughts about garrisons. And the game, turns out, had some news this week. Let's get into it now.
Big news of the week.
Big news. Big news of the week brought to you by our friends at DoghouseSystems.com, where they have the amazing new Blizzard systems. You can get them by going to DoghouseSystems.com/Blizzard. And if you choose the Horde side one, they're both really nice. They're both art from actual Blizzard artists. But if you get the Horde one, that's my character and his pet Henry. It doesn't say it anywhere, but I can tell you with some authority that's it. And he's in his questing gear from early Pandaria, if that gives you any idea of what you're looking at there. Anyway, go check him out. DoghouseSystems.com, where the code Henry gets you double the memory on the finest gaming rigs I've ever used. Do it today. All right. This is not so much WoW related as it is community related. It turns out AOL, who bought a ton of blogs from Weblogs Inc. What's that been, 6 years or something ago? But for years and years and years before that, now 10 years total, there has been a website, for example, called joystick.com. And from WoW's inception in 2005, roughly, WoW Insider was born, wowinsider.com. Another great site, massively.com, was pulled into the family. Basically, AOL bought up all this stuff. Part of that was Engadget and a few other sites. And they're going away. They're shutting them down, which came as a shock to some people. I had heard some rumblings from people I know over there that something was up, but it's official as of, I think, Tuesday. I know for Joystick it's on Tuesday. I can't speak for WoW Insider for sure here, but I'm pretty sure it's the same day. WoW Insider, Joystick, Massively, and other blogs are gone, shut down, kaput, out of there. It represents about 150 jobs. A decent portion of those land into the laps of Joystick and WoW Insider. WoW Insider kind of being an offshoot of Joystick in the first place, but really came into its own and produced some of the most important, I think, community content for the game. Really drove players to a place where they could kind of find some information, a place to chat and talk and share stuff, all done in sort of the style of WoW Insider, which has always been kind of unique, I think, in the community. And I'm really sad to hear that this is all going away. The WoW Insider podcast, this means that's going away. We have some, you know, legacy connection to that through Terpster, who used to be on that show, and our friend Mike Schramm and others who just were a big part of that community, and especially in these early days. Back when the instance was a baby. So I just, I guess I'm putting it out there that I feel horrible that this stuff's going away. I think AOL's probably making a smart financial decision. I think we're at the point of like bubble bloat for information on the internet. There's too many blogs vying for the same pieces of information. And you could argue that that is a sort of, you know, you're not going to win that fight eventually because there's just too many voices all saying the same stuff. And I get it from the business perspective, but I'm super sad from a content and user perspective because I really like this stuff. So I assume you guys are the same. John, you have fond feelings for WoW Insider's place in the history of WoW?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, it was one of the first places I went for WoW news. Once you, you know, kind of get over that hurdle of I just play the game and then you want to dive in and it's okay, well, now I want to read about the game and I want to learn more about it. And you know, it. I think the big thing is, regardless of how you felt about the content, whether, you know, you went there all the time or just went there occasionally, you know, that's a lot of jobs. You know, that's the part that, you know, is really sad. And while I'm sad to see the content go, I feel even worse for the people that are now out there looking for work in a field that's already very tough to find jobs in. And it feels like it's just constantly shrinking right now.
Yeah, it's in a weird, I don't know if bubble's the right way to put it, but it does feel like that, right? Kind of like, I don't know, you've, like video game blogs in general, Joystick being the big victim here on that side, there's just so many of them. And there weren't so much 10 years ago when they started, but they are now, and they're all competing. And then they're competing with YouTubers who are all sort of doing similar things. And they're competing with popular podcasts that are covering this stuff and sites that are, you know, cropping up and everyone thinks is the new hotness. And then your blog has to be a little bit louder. But at the end of the day, they're still fighting like cats over a piece of fish for the same stuff every day.
Yeah.
And then so what some blogs do is they go, well, all right, fine. We'll be the blog that is real esoteric and, you know, doesn't really, like, I feel like Kotaku, I'm sure it has its fans, never really does well with me as a gaming blog because I feel like they're not really focused as much on gaming as they are on, look at this funny GIF we found or stuff I can find at any time on Reddit or a thousand other places. And so it never really worked for me. But Joystick is like, here's what we heard. Here's the news from today. Here's the thing that was said today at GDC. Mull that around and take that home with you and see what you think. And now get in the comments and let's talk about it. That stuff was, I think, done really well over there. And I'm just going to miss the whole thing. Ralph, you going to miss him? You going to miss WoW Insider?
Yeah, I'm always amazed by these sites and everybody that does all this work, seemingly just for my benefit. Where I go there and I can look up these things and read this stuff. And I'm also including things like, you know, Wowhead and Icy Veins, where there's resources where people are putting in lots and lots of effort. And I just bring up the website and I get the answer.
Yeah.
And
it's a convenience. It's hard to lose, man, in our modern day.
Like you said, WoW Insider and Joystick are more on the news side and less on the here's how to do this quest kind of stuff.
Sure,
but
sure.
Do they are they allowed to, or do we know, like, is, or did they lose the name? Like, if those people wanted to go make WoW Insider somewhere else, that just change homes.
They can't. So here's the deal. Okay. I asked a similar question to some, I don't think I'm allowed to say who it was yet until all this stuff's done on Tuesday. But anyway, their comments were that they can't, the AOL's hanging on to all the names and properties for... Probably the reason would just be, hey, one day we may decide to revive this. Or if we do decide to sell it, maybe we package them together. Or, you know, they want to have the option. And
yeah,
I think
it's worth something, right?
Sure.
Why give away something that's worth something?
It's the traffic alone is worth something. Like the traffic they're going to lose, they may not see it in their bottom line. The way their advertising models work right now may not support this. But at the end of the day, there were a lot of people coming to Joystick, as an example, or WoW Insider every day. Now, whether those equate to numbers somebody else would want for their more fledgling kind of efforts, I don't know, maybe. Here's what I predict. I have a prediction. And I don't know how true this will be or to what extent, but I think there is a real sea change happening where these sites will start to disappear. This isn't the first time. We've got to remember the whole Polygon Verge thing started when a bunch of, well, at least the Polygon side, a bunch of guys from Joystick took off and basically created Polygon. Which you could argue now is, you know, the de facto place to go. Although, I don't know, I have some issues with Polygon as well. But anyway, the point is they ran off to do that. Now we got these guys at IGN who've been there, longtime editor and video guys, left, started a Patreon, and now are doing their own content, kind of running their own little media business. I think what's going to start happening is more and more people, and especially in the aftermath of this, some of these people are going to pull up their bootstraps. They're going to hop on Kickstarter, Patreon, and other crowd-funded efforts. They're going to find their audience, take them with them, and create their own things. And there will be less of, all right, now there's a big void in games journalism, so we're going to start a new site dedicated to gaming news or WoW news. Instead, you're going to see these guys try to go independent.
Yeah, I could totally see that. And I think it's a smart thing to do, because I think in a lot of ways, when it turns into people just kind of saying, you know, well, this is what I want to make, to do the stuff that I love to do, I think that's a more realistic goal than when you try to look at it from the perspective of, okay, this is the infrastructure that a company needs to build so that they can get this organization and hire these people and cover this content. Like you end up seeing a lot of success when people, you know, kind of strike out and say, this is what we're going to do on our own terms. I mean, you look at websites, like you said, Polygon, GiantBomb.com, you know, all these places that are kind of built up, and some of them have gotten bigger and bought out and all of that. But, you know, they were started from people going out and saying, well, we're going to do this the way we want to do this now. We're going to do this coverage on our terms, and this is what we're going to make. And they've become better off for it.
In some ways, it's a cycle, because these sites like, you know, that we're talking about now that AOL is dumping, these were all independent things at first. Then they got rolled into something bigger. Then they got rolled into something huge, and now they're being pooped out by something huge. And now, presumably, those people will then go, the most talented of them, start something small, have it get bought out, start the cycle again. I mean, it's very possible we're going to go down that road again. It's also very possible, and I've predicted this for a while, and I'm even part of this bubble, but the self-published, independent web creator, crowdfunded web creator thing, if injected with a ton of new talent and people, could have its own bubble of sorts at some point. So I don't know. It's all a very weird, changing, shifting thing, because video games aren't going anywhere. Coverage of them isn't going anywhere. But those who do cover it and how they cover it is definitely going somewhere. And I don't exactly know where that... We don't know what the end game is yet, but we'll see.
I have to admit, I hope that the Twitch part of this cycle, or it's just the streaming. I enjoy some streaming, but I would prefer to read an article.
Yeah, I don't want to lose the old... It's kind of like that whole, hey, TV's going to replace radio, but it never did, thank goodness. Or nowadays it's, hey, podcasters... Although all the talk now is podcasting's back, but whatever, it never left. But this idea that YouTube and video is going to kill podcasting, it won't. And I don't think this kills traditional, well-written content.
That's the thing. If somebody wants to stream something, it kind of takes almost no preparation, right? Mm-hmm. You sit down, you turn on your game, you turn on the camera, you play it for a while. Whereas if you're going to put together an article or a story, you have a notion of what the point you want to get across, and then you prepare for it, you put it all together, you organize it.
Yeah.
And to me, I can sit down and read that and get a lot more information really quickly. Yeah. So it's not that video is always better, because sometimes video is fun, right? It's the energy to see the actual thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I hope we don't go to like 99% streaming stuff and 1% articles.
I tend to agree. I don't think it will, though. I feel like there's always going to be a place for that. The real question is, will there be a place for us in Slagworks on the PTR? Oh, gosh. Look at this. Over this weekend, in fact, I guess now, starting yesterday? Anyway, the Slagworks wing of Black Rock Foundry is the first encounter is on. It's on PTR. You can go play. You can go check it out. You can give feedback. You can see what you want to do. So I bring this up because otherwise it's just a notice that, hey, if you're doing PTR stuff, it's time to start testing the raid content. But are either of you doing any of this? Do you do PTRs in WoW, or do you avoid that and play the raw ass game?
I downloaded the PTR just to get on and see what my blood elf looked like.
And you did that whole thing for a selfie. Is that what you're telling me?
I did not take a selfie, although I have not decided if I'm going to be ironically into it or not when the availability is there. I have seen some people post early WoW selfies, and I will confess to getting kind of an obscene amount of joy out of it. Yeah. It makes me laugh.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I think it's terrible or great. We'll see how that pans out.
Yeah, and we'll get to all that in a minute regarding selfies and Twitter integration and all that, because I have some thoughts on that. But it is kind of like, you'll see the first one, and it's usually a very attractive sort of badass-looking blood elf or something in normal play, but you get a selfie version, and it's the goofiest. If anything, I feel like this feature may just remind us all that selfies are terrible. Uh-huh. That they're just a bad... What's the word? A bad offshoot, it's the leftover sludge of modern technological life. Hey, we've all got cameras and we have great ways to communicate. One of the horrible side effects is selfies. The modern selfie. Maybe this game will help, you know, I don't know. Maybe we can push my agenda forward of no selfies all the time. We'll see. Anyway, PTR. Roger, what are you doing with PTR? Are you in there? You got it?
I don't do PTR very much. I think like a lot of people, I had the experience of doing a beta. Mm. And then when the real thing came out, I felt like I didn't have anything to do, or it was less fun.
You had to do it over again. Yeah.
I did that in Mists of Pandaria, you know, leveled up a tune fairly high in the beta, and then didn't want to do it again when it happened for real.
Yeah.
And in terms of rating and stuff, you know, I have plenty to do to keep me busy in the regular. So.
That's how I look at it. It's like I barely have the raid nights I want to have, and I can't spend a bunch of time. I mean, let's put it this way. Not all of us can be Ro from Realm Maintenance. That guy, to hell. To hell with that guy. He is just insane, the amount of things he sees and does. Now, I'm really glad he does, because he's a great friend to have in the game. It's like, hey, Ralph, or hey, Ro, how about these 12 things I haven't done? Oh, yeah, I've done them all, and here's what you think. And on the PTR, they changed this. And I'm pretty sure this is, you know, he lives in the game. So for those guys like that, I'm glad they exist. But I don't.
I definitely want there to be a PTR, and I definitely want the people to do that, so that the these articles that I was talking about before, so they come out like the first week.
Yeah. Also, the cloning, having a cloned copy essentially of the entire game on a hard drive, something feels so bad about that. Like just the idea of there's 230 gig plus installs of something that are virtually identical except for a few system changes and an additional dungeon. Something about that's like, I don't know, what is that like? That's like ordering 8 pizzas when you only needed 4. Right?
Yeah.
It's exactly like that.
It's spot on.
Nailed it. All right. Blizzard had an entire department, or has an entire department that is dedicated to nothing but destroying bots and exploits in the game. This came as news to me. I didn't realize they were this focused on it. I know they don't like them, and they try to eliminate them when they can. But according to a recent Blue Post, they have an entire team focused on this. I just thought it was kind of interesting. There's a quote here I like. We probably can't completely wipe bots from existence. We'll sure as hell try. I like the kind of Old West thing going on here. But the fight continues. We can, however, punish as many of those who use them as we can, and there, or as that we catch. And the more we catch, the better our ability to detect them gets.
I feel like I'm listening to the plot to the next Terminator movie.
I always assumed they used drones to catch bots.
Yeah, right. It makes sense. I would actually appreciate walking around in Azeroth, and then overhead being a little quadcopter made by a goblin or something.
Like all those little axe beak things in the first zone in Draenor that look like a toucan.
Oh, right. Those would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, those little buttholes. The ones you're supposed to be able to click, and I never can. Anyway, here's the thing. The exploit thing, it's still a problem, but I guess I was a little naive. I thought the idea of bots were gone. I didn't think the game would even... There's so many systems. Does somebody make a bot just to do nothing but... I don't know. I guess in the old days it would farm an area, but it was easy. It was like a big flat space. You're in that barrens. There's a ton of leather. So your bot goes out and just kills stuff and gets leather. And that seems like an easy way to do it. But I feel like these days, the way that stuff works, there are no big areas full of leather anymore. There are no like easily exploitable things.
And you have a garrison.
Yeah. And you have a garrison, which kind of changes the whole game. Maybe there are bots and garrisons now.
I was just thinking that because, one thing I did do leveling up, even without thinking about it, is I always made sure to send all of my followers off on every possible mission.
Yeah.
And there's add-ons to help you with that. And they make it really just sort of click, 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 click. You could bot that very easily.
Yeah. Well, I've never had an experience where... So the other thing they talked about in this post is if you ever see anybody who seems to be behaving oddly in the game, to report them. And that did two things. One, it made me think about any time I've ever seen someone who didn't seem to act quite human. And I couldn't think of any. But then it also made me a little self-conscious. When do I ever act like that? Do these bots ever have... Do they include little AI routines that make them dance and jump around on their mounts a lot just to make them seem like just yet another idiot player who's bored? Like, it's must be an advanced science by now if in 10 years we're still having to detect and then fight and then eliminate bots in the game.
I love this idea that we are living in some sort of weird dystopian world where it's, if you see anybody that you suspect might be a robot, please contact Blizzard and me. It's like Blade Runner. World of Warcraft has become Blade Runner.
Oh my gosh.
And it's the Warcraft Turing test. Right?
Yeah. And it's so, I don't know. There is kind of a, this is what I mean. There's kind of an insidious part of this. Like, it's worse in real life, but as the allegory in the game can take you, I don't think that guy's acting right. Like, at what point do I sit and raid and go, I don't know if Ben is behaving like the real Ben.
Like in a raid.
Yeah. and then turn him in and then have
this
him
guy
go through.
I've known for years. I started to
right. It's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something.
What do you mean, human man? Please yeah. point me in the direction of the leather.
I had a friend who actually did some botting for a while.
Oh, what? And holy crap. Program. I would love to hear about this. All right, go ahead.
And it's been a long time ago, but the thing I do remember is whatever program he got, you could set it up with automated responses when people whispered you. Because that's one of the big failings of bots is when you whisper it, they don't reply or they always reply with the same thing. So this thing had the whole, you know, series of stuff and you could add your own things in there and randomize it. And to me, the whole thing was just like, me, not that kind of orc, you know, and I was like, yeah, we're basically doing the same thing as the peons do, except now it's our character.
So that's the actual. So speaking of the Turing test, that's where it fails is anytime you try to communicate with those guys. So I think it would be fun. I mean, if I was doing it, I'd just say can't talk, busy. That's all I'd do.
Yeah.
I don't know. That seems like bot activity.
Does it seem a little botty to you?
Yeah.
How about
but you say it 10 times in a row.
But if you said, okay, well, actually the best behavior. Well, no, see, this is, again, this is suspicious, but if you just had him say nothing, like I'll do that. I'll have days where I'm trying to concentrate and I'll have 5,000 private messages and I'll just not talk or I'll go AFK, you know, say AFK or whatever. And just like, I got to focus here. I can't have these, all these conversations. That starts to look suspicious. See, I'm starting to question my own behavior because I'm going to start getting called out.
Yeah. No, you're a GURP bot.
Yeah, GURP bot. Oh, boy. Great.
I think what you want to do is you want to reply with some message that is a non sequitur and weird enough that they think. So you just say, can't talk right now, pudding emergency. And they're like, well, that's got to be a person, right?
Yeah, who else would say pudding emergency? Plus, gamers are funny like that. They're always eating things like pudding. That's funny. He's not a bot. Moving on, right?
Right.
All right. Well, next time I see either of you online, if I don't get a pudding reply, we're not friends anymore.
Just go up to people and say the statement is false.
All right.
And then if the avatar explodes, you'll know that you caught them in a logic loop and
they yell exterminate.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, let's finally talk about before we get to a load of your emails and calls there, dear listeners. We've got something about Twitter integration and selfies that I just want to get off my chest. I'm actually less concerned about the selfie thing because that's just sort of a whatever, you can do it. And then once you've had your fun, you're done. It's a little, some have shown some consternation that Blizzard has spent any time on such things, that they shouldn't even mess with this, that these, you know, life cycles and CPU cycles could have been dedicated to something more important in the game. But whatever, I'm fine with the frivolous. It doesn't bother me. I'm more bothered by the Twitter integration, not because it's there, but because of what it possibly could mean for my feed. And I'm not looking forward to a constant barrage of spammy Warcraft tweets, which, again, to its credit, will probably only be the first week, and then everyone will calm down. But for that first week or so, I may have to mute some people.
This is something I do already. I will take a picture of something in game, like right after I got the pound fist mount.
Yeah.
I went and put Peppy on my head, took a picture of me on top of the mount, Peppy on top of me.
Yeah.
But then I had to take the screenshot, I had to get it out, I cropped it, and then I put it up on Twitter.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with them sort of automating that for me. But yeah, I'm worried about you, about the spam.
It's gonna be bad for a couple of days.
Now what's the thing you're saying about the selfies are somehow different?
No, they're just they're different in the sense that, okay, well, they're kind of connected, right? So when people first discover the selfie thing, they're going to be tweeting the hell out of it. So I realize that they're kind of hand in hand, at least the potential
but
problem.
It still looks like your actual character in game, right?
Oh, yeah. He just looks like he's holding a camera out in front of him and grinning at it. And they look silly. If you go look at any of the shots people have taken on the PTR, it is really ridiculous. And it's kind of funny. But that will be a thing you could tie directly to your Twitter crap, and then you're going to spam the hell out of people with really stupid selfies of your character. And eventually, I mean, once you've seen every race and every gender of each race, you're kind of done, I feel like, with what that selfie thing's going to offer you.
You know, Guild Wars had a Twitter integration.
Yeah, they did right out of the gate, didn't they? Was it Guild Wars or Rift did as well, I want to say.
Rift. It might have been Rift.
Might have been Rift, yeah.
And if you weren't careful, you could set it up to, you know, tweet out all of your achievements, all your stuff, and that got really bad.
Yeah, it was an auto. Yeah, I think you had to opt out of it at first, and they fixed it later. But you had to, if you put your credentials in, would, by default, anytime you did anything of note, it felt like achievements, like you said, it would send that stuff out, which is, you know, like your first death, it would send it out. Your first,
just let everybody know.
Yeah, I died for the first time. So it's weird. I'm fine with it. I'm not hardly even going to touch it. But you got to know that first week, though. Oof, it's going to be bad. I'm going to use the mute button in Twitter liberally.
Yeah, it'll help you clean out your Twitter feed for sure.
I've been looking for a better way to do that. So
yeah, it's, I mean, in a way, it's kind of a nice Twitter feature to help decide who you want to mute, unfollow. And
maybe I found it. We found the way. All right, cool. Let's get to some emails and calls.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
Okay, look at this. Town crier, this is where you guys send us your emails and calls. They come to us at 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462. Leave us a message. Play it on the show. Keep it short. Keep it pointed and interesting, and we're in. Also, you can email us your attachments or your regular emails to theinstance@gmail.com. Let's start with calls. This one's about what's next for leveling.
Hey, Instance crew. This is Priapus. I have a quick question for you guys. What do you think Blizzard will do for character progression in the next expansion? Do you think we'll be going to level 110? Seems kind of intimidating if you don't have a boost. Or do you think they might introduce something like Paragon levels in Diablo? Think there will be a level squish, or do you think it will be something completely different? Love the show.
We've addressed this a couple times on the show, but never to any agreement. My current standing on this is that they'll probably just do another 10 levels, maybe 5, I don't know, depending on how they spread the content out. But I think our next expansion is 110. I mean, 100 is a cool number, which we've also discussed. It's like, that's a great big number with two zeros and a one in front of it, and it's solid and it looks good, you know, like that's a hell of a number right there. Yeah. But 110 starts to sound
funny.
You
have a solid grasp of the fundamentals, I think.
Right? But then this idea, and I mean, just even visually, that looks cool. Like it just says like one freaking hundred. But now we're gonna say, did you get your character to 110 yet?
Yeah.
And it just sounds funny coming out of my mouth. So I don't know, where are you guys at with this? What do you
I've always said, like, I don't think we're going past 100, but that's not necessarily because that's what I truly believe. It's just because I feel like at some point we have to stop with just linear level progression. At some point, it has to turn into something else, right? Like, that, at least that's what I tell myself.
Well, I agree with you, except here's the thing. The entire model is built around that progression. So it's not so much they couldn't do that, because I agree with you. I think 100 is a great play. If you're going to stop somewhere, this is the place to do it.
Don't make it 105 or something like that. Like, well, first you get to 105 and then you unlock alternate leveling options.
Yeah, which is really, they're never going to do that. The way they have the questing now, which they seem to love and have enjoyed for so long, is these questing hubs where you're a certain level and you do the quests in those area and then you move to the next one and there's a story progression there. There's a character progression, item progression. Like, it's all happening in and around this idea that you are leveling up something. But with the loss of having regular skill progression in the game, because that's the one thing I really don't like about the late game in the game, or even the game period right now, is that feeling that you've lost from not having something every other level that's new for you to use. And now it's more like, hey, we've increased the power of the thing you already had. How you feel about that? It's just not very exciting. And then talents are so far apart that unlocking anything. Yeah. So something Diablo has spoiled me with is not only that constant progression on all sides, both level and whatever, but when you hit 70, Paragon really is that continuation of my character is still progressing even though I have capped this thing out. Not just in loot, but also in these other things I can tweak stats with. So my personal opinion would be, Paragon's a really cool idea, but Paragon implies that you've stopped at 100 and now all the Paragons are available for you to eat. And I don't think that works either, because what does that mean? Level 100, Paragon, 800 for one guy, 200 for another guy. Like, then you've got unending, never stopping progression. What's the point of even having an expansion? Do they just put out story content packs that are slightly harder? What level of Paragon or whatever their equivalent would be would you have to hit? Like, I think that is a huge retrofit.
Yeah, it would turn into just the same type of leveling, but kind of hidden. So it would be, okay, well, to do this content, you have to be a 100L30P, you know, for your leveling. Mm-hmm. And then it's just, well, okay, well, why not just make it level 130 then in that case?
Yeah. And that, because what's the, because the law says the numbers sound dumb. Well, that's better than changing your entire game to accommodate something else. Just
still being
because
able
you don't
to progress
like
is good, right? Yeah. Because if you hit the level cap and then everything you did just went into the bit bucket, that's not fun.
I agree. MMOs are just different. And this MMO is fundamentally different.
The cool thing about Paragon points in Diablo is that they go to all your characters.
Right. That's true.
Count bound.
Yeah.
And right now, that's for me, that's the big thing I'm kind of not upset with, but kind of bothers me in WoW is so many things that are soul bound. Mm-hmm. And not account bound, like hex weave cloth. Why is that? Just why is that soul bound?
Just to irritate you, man. Just to irritate you.
But I actually don't have any problem with the number 100 if they keep going, because even though it feels like a natural stopping point, I think if it went to 110, we'd all get over it, like in a day.
Yeah, that's what I guess that's what I'm saying. I guess I'm with people on the idea that maybe here's your chance to do something different, but I don't know that they will, or be motivated to, or have any real compelling reason to change it.
I think they should give us multi-classing next.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm.
Let our characters earn experience for a secondary class, build up at the same time, and then kind of do. Even though it's a scary area to get into, let us do what they did with the Old Republic, where maybe you can unlock a couple of abilities from another class on your main class.
Ooh, that is that. I always liked that, but I always feared it. Like you hear about that and you're like, ooh, you know, what would it be like if I could have Frost Nova on my Hunter?
Yeah.
But then they've got to rebalance everything every time something like that gets introduced.
I was going to say balance is the... will be killer on that.
Yeah, that's rough business. I don't know. The bottom line, I think, is that they will probably have to at some point. I mean, the number squish was a thing that was important this expansion for all the other numbers in the game. Maybe at some point it does get ridiculous. Let's go down the road. If they say they want this game to run another 20 years, and let's just assume that's true, at some point you're in the 180. We're going from 180 to 190. That starts to look crazy. So I don't know if a squish is in order where... we are now all level 50 in the next expansion, and we're working towards 60 again, and it's not really going to be any different. I mean, the game will be the same. You're still, we're all playing at the same level. You all still had to earn your way here. I guess maybe it'd be 60 for an expansion, wouldn't it be? Because then you always count vanilla as kind of your starting point. I don't know. See, and the more I say this, the more I realize that they're just going to have to do what they've already done. Maybe when they get to 100, well, now they're at 100, but maybe when you get to, like, say 200, you could keep resetting back to 100 maybe and squish that way. I don't know.
So it's more like 100% instead of just a number 100.
Yeah, like a percent. That's a good point. But then it sounds so dumb as I say it, but I feel like they got to do something, because at some point those numbers are unwieldy. They're not there yet.
Everything I can think of is less desirable than just counting up to 200.
Yeah.
Like, I thought one thing they could do is say, when you went to Draenor, maybe it's just like, okay, now you're this whole new person. You had to be level capped to get here. But now that you're here, we're going to start you back at one.
Yeah. Because in Draenor terms, one is the best number. And
right. But then if you try to go from Draenor back to Azeroth, are you going to like switch from 5 back to 90?
Good point.
So, yeah,
it's weird, dude.
The nice thing about numbers is they numbers keep going.
Right.
That's built in.
It's math, right?
Yeah.
I understand that at a very basic level. That's the part I got in math. The rest of it, not so much.
But I think that's the trick too, is, you know, they want the game. I mean, there's no way that Blizzard is happy with saying, well, these are the number of the people that we have playing the game, and that's what we want to keep it at, and we'll keep it there until it shrinks down to zero. Like, I think they would still love to bring in new people, and it is daunting to look at someone and say, welcome to this game, you need to get from 90 to 200, or you need to get from 1 to 200, or, you know, whatever number it's at the time. That's a incredibly daunting task. Yep. So, you know, I think it's something that they have to weigh the options of, you know, what's going to bring in new people, what's the best thing to do. You know, they're already giving people boosts to 90. Does that make the stuff prior to 90 kind of trivial at this point? Could they ever reach a point where they say, okay, well, 90 is now the new level one, and then, you know, once you hit level 100, then you've unlocked this, you know, bonus level of your class. Instead of a rogue, you're now an assassin, you know, and now you've got that progression going forward.
You just gave me an idea. What if, this is a little bit not connected to this, but what if your other characters could show up, your alts, show up as followers in your garrison missions, and while you're doing stuff on your main, I'm sending my mage on missions that are leveling him up, gearing him up, just like you're doing with your followers, except for real, you could at any time go and log into that character and he is at whatever place you have him progressing in your garrison. So if I don't want to level him to 100, I can do it through garrisons, and when he hits 100 or any level, I can hop in on him and there he is.
That actually sounds really cool.
Oh, I would do that. That wouldn't be that hard. That's all they're doing.
They've made you the commander. Pick a tune on your account. Say, this is my commander. Mm-hmm. These are my followers. Yeah. Like, yeah. And I'm going to send them out. They're going to gain levels and experience, and they're going to go off and kind of play the game. Keep it real slow and real casual, but you can go over and you've earned that loot and earned that progression and all of that. I think that's neat.
Yeah. Have them. They're running high mall. They know what's up. Now I can go play him and make him my main and make him the captain. Screw my hunter at that point, you know?
I want to ask you guys about that because I like that idea of the commander.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's got to be something coming with garrisons where this commander thing is going to be more of a thing.
How do you mean? More meaningful to be a commander? Other than just, oh, here's your garrison and people are going to salute you, but that's really as far as it goes right now.
Right, because that's kind of all it is. It's your own personal housing and your stuff.
Yeah.
At some point, don't we have to, like, you know, start participating in the war? And that's the whole idea, right? We got this garrison. We're getting all these resources. They're not just for us. They're for our whole garrison.
Yeah.
And at some point, we need to amp it up and get a bunch more and go out. And so I like this idea somehow of the garrison. And as a commander, you're going to, like, do something that takes a force of people out into war.
Maybe Warcraft 4 launches out of this game as a surprise for all players who've gone that far with it. Maybe the camera suddenly zips out, it's overhead, and you're sending an army of...
Becomes an RTS.
Yeah.
That's how the expansion ends. Vol'jin dies, next expansion is a city-building game, and you play as the Warchief.
Can I spend money on weird coins to speed it up when I want stuff done? Okay, great. Yeah.
You just click the coins, they come out,
I'm embracing this terrible future. All right, we got a call here about how Everbloom sucks and whether or not we agree.
Hey, guys, this is Brett. I'm calling for the instance. I kind of wanted to ask you guys a question about the Everbloom and what your guys' thoughts are on the design of the instance, because I think it's really poorly designed. It has way too much trash. The root is kind of bogged down by these massive ad groups that get pulled so frequently, and so often tanks in looking for group struggle with these pulls because all these, you know, little flower things come out of the ground and start attacking you from every direction. And I don't know if it's a very well designed instance. Like, every group that I'm in ends up just trying to piece their way through it by, like, hopping over ledges and going up little cliffs and skipping a bunch of mobs. Did Blizzard kind of drop the ball on this, or is it just more difficult and looking for a group isn't at that difficulty level yet? What do you guys think? Love the show. Longtime listener. Keep up the good work.
I think some of those annoyances are not new to raiding or to dungeon running in the game. You know, skipping loot or not loot, but skipping mobs because that trash isn't needed or whatever. That's an old school trick, and doing it by climbing up a wall or hugging real close to a cliff or something to get around them is certainly nothing new. But I never ran Everbloom and came out thinking that was a badly designed encounter. I just think it's one of those with a lot of crap that you maybe want to avoid. But again, like, there's so many like that. Like, how about most of the trash in Siege of Orgrimmar? How about I want to skip all that crap? I wouldn't call it poorly designed, though. It's just designed with, you know.
I know what he's saying about the little flowers, though, because first time I was in there, because to me, the flowers look like part of the scenery.
Sure. They blend in, yeah.
And it is a bunch of cul-de-sacs, and I get turned around in there. But I agree with what you're saying about this is not a new thing. They don't want to allow you just to drop in, fight the boss, and get out, right?
Yeah.
That's
And it's and what was the one in the dungeon in Wrath of the Lich King where I remember being blown away because it was really pretty, and at the time that it was just I couldn't believe the game was capable of making it look like that. But it was this big. It was super magical in there and blue and all kinds of stuff going around. And there were like frozen trees you had to kill. Do you remember this?
Oh, Nexus.
Was it Nexus?
Yeah.
I think it was the Nexus.
Maybe. There was a part of that where there was all these things on the ground all the time that blended into the scenery. And that is annoying. I'm with him on that. It's annoying. But it's annoying in the sense that, you know, too many Goombas in Mario is annoying. Or, you know, I don't know. To continue my horrible Mario metaphor, a water level in a 2D Mario game is terrible. It's just I feel like that's just them's the breaks when it comes to WoW encounters. They're going to throw everything they can at it. Because I've kind of come to this conclusion. It's taken nearly 10 years for this to sink into me. But everything we do in that game, for the most part, with a few exceptions when they put out a new expansion and a couple of new mechanics show up, they're all variations on very similar mechanics because the game is capable of, you know, showing you a kind of a finite number of things that you as a character can do in that world. And sometimes it's combinations of things. You're, you know, taking on what's his bucket and burning the algae with a freaking flamethrower. That's really not that much different than a thousand other times a similar mechanic has been employed in the game. So for me, it's like they kind of have this, I don't think they're designing this way, but they probably have like some kind of spreadsheet with all of the capable actions players can take, whatever those may take form of. And then by the same token, what kind of mobs can do certain patrol moves, which ones are walking back and forth, which ones are going to show up and do this, which ones are putting out a cloud or whatever. All right, well, let's take one from column A and column B and combine them, and that will make this plant hard to see and in the scenery, and he's going to do his thing. And I think that's just how this game is. And I'm okay with it because there's enough variety there to mix and match that you're probably okay. But that's all you're really dealing with here. You've dealt with this before. It's not poor design. It's just us not liking one of the mechanics over another.
I have a reputation on the raid team for not liking trash.
Yeah.
To the point where I have hidden inside a dead boss before to avoid having to participate in fighting with the trash. But you know, I don't like it. It does bug me when I go into an instance and you feel like you have to, you know, you have someone saying, okay, you got to walk this finite line to get through these guys at this time without pulling. I feel like I don't like it more in the realm of, I think it creates an atmosphere of hostility in the game when you have, you know, you go into a dungeon, you've got four people that have maybe run it before. And so they know that all you have to do is follow this path, jump over this rock, you know, do a flip here and you're past the trash and don't have to fight it. But you get a new guy who it's his first time in there and he thinks, well, maybe I should follow the path or he can't keep up with them. He pulls the trash and now all of a sudden you've got four people mad at him for pulling the trash. Mm. To me, I think, why not just put less trash in the instance? You know, why does it need to be this incredibly full? If you're going to have people avoiding it and using this method, just, you know, maybe cut back on it to where people don't feel as encouraged to have to do those crazy things to try and get around it. But, you know, like you said, it's nothing new. It's been in the game since day one. It's actually gotten better since day one. So yeah,
all you had to do is run Molten Core a few weeks ago to be reminded of how they used to handle trash and why it was really just filler content. These days, at least, there's some challenging trash. There's reasons to kill some of it because they'll drop stuff you want. Like, they've tried to balance that out. But I agree. There are times where, you know, I'll see a bunch of trash we're avoiding and think, you know, you could just hot fix it in where there's that group's not even over there.
It's just why do you think they have trash?
I think it's to fill it out. It's the same reason you have let me think of a good food example. It's the same reason I have cheese and bread with my pepperoni pizza. If it was all pepperoni, I'd make myself sick, you know?
I think it's also the same reason that we don't have flying in Draenor. Mm. It's the same reason that all the quests aren't in the same spot, right? If you don't, if it doesn't take time, if you don't have to go through, if you just pop in, say, kill boss one, okay, now it's kill boss two, kill boss three, and you get through a dungeon in, you know, 20 minutes, you know, then it doesn't feel like you've accomplished anything.
There's game theory in there is what you're saying, and I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. There's something in there. There's you're providing work, necessary work, and your brain treats it as, even though you may be annoyed by it, but it still treats it as like, this is a thing I need to do, and it needs to be a little challenging, and I need to get through it because that'll be worth it. Because on the other side is this thing that we've all fought before. We know how to beat him, and we're going to get some sweet loot today. If it was just
right,
pop me in next to the guy and hit go, and it was nothing but a DPS rush, and you know there were no fancy mechanics to worry about, that's really boring.
Right. Now, I'll admit to being annoyed by it.
Yeah.
And I'm especially annoyed when the trash doesn't drop anything or give any rep.
Yeah.
Like that pig in Heimhof with the butcher. Yeah. Why?
Come on, you love the pig in Heimhof.
He should drop ham.
Yeah, he should drop stat food is what he should do. Some pretty sweet stat food that'll give you like bonus for an hour or something.
It's the time we have to talk about movies and, you know, what we've been up to. And, right. You know, get to understand our raid team a little bit.
That's
better.
What our raid team does.
It's building. It's a building.
Here's our raid team rotation. Here's the FERT team's rotation. It's booby joke. Everyone shut up. We got to fight this guy. Booby joke, booby joke. What movie did you see? I really like that TV show. I hate that actor. Booby joke. That's your rotation.
Okay, that's our rotation.
Oh, good. Turns out everyone's like that.
Throw in a couple, that's what she said, and you know, you're pretty much spot on.
Oh, do you guys do the ASCII art in raid chat?
No, not so much.
Kick it in.
It's mostly vocal. And there are times I'll go in there where I've had one of those days where it's like a podcasted all day or something, and I don't feel like saying anything. I just want to play and hang out, and I'll do that. And the bad side of that is I'll get like 500 private messages from everybody on the team going, "Hey, everything okay? You doing all right over there? Is everything okay? You're being so quiet tonight." Like, no, I just want to be quiet. I just want to listen to these boob jokes and not, you know, offer my own.
Just tell them pudding emergency.
All right, we got a final call about flying. It's not exactly what people think, so give it a listen.
Hey, this is Wolfchild calling from Scarlet Crusade. On last week's show, The Instance, you had mentioned that you have no use for flying mounts. I was wondering if what you would think about the game adding a feature to where you could use your flying mounts on the ground and had sort of a hover feature to where you still got to have the aesthetic and the animation of flying while not having to actually introduce flying into Draenor. Just wondering what you think. Thanks.
Okay, that kind of is already true with a lot of them. Most of the flying, not all of them, the flying mounts with legs, like proper legs, they still run on the ground like they would normally do. But what's that one you bought, the yellow banana looking one from Pandaria? What was that called? The big yellow dragon.
I don't know. Heavenly serpent.
Serpent
thing.
Man thing.
I don't know.
He's gold and he hovers, and there are others that do that. I'm fine with that. My point I was trying to make last episode was, if you're going to have flying mounts in the game and you're going to reward me with them for doing certain achievements or, you know, whatever, or sell them to me for real money in the real world, sell me a flying mount that I cannot use in this current expansion, give me other reasons why those things are valuable to have out in a ground only world. Because I'm still totally fine with this I can't fly in Draenor thing. No problem. I just feel like I should be able to have more reasons to want flying mounts. Otherwise, they're just kind of useless at this point.
It's by no means an original suggestion. I've heard people talk about this since Burning Crusade when flying got introduced and then they wanted to see it in vanilla. Is why not be able to select that when you take a flight path somewhere, it chooses one of your flying mounts as opposed to just here's the generic one that's standing there, you know, maybe have your flying mount be the thing that takes you. Maybe it pulls from your favorite list, you know, any mount that can fly. Mm-hmm. And do that. I think that's kind of a neat little compromise. I mean, nobody's going to be crazy excited about it, but at least you feel like, okay, here's this mount that I worked for. Here's a place where I get to see it doing what it needs to do. It's not just kind of running weirdly on the ground or, you know, hovering a couple feet, and it can kind of do a weird hop, but can never actually get airborne.
Yeah. And then there's going to come this time. I've predicted this. I don't know how true it'll hold, but if there's a new expansion and they're all about the flying, then just let's say they do that, if they don't stick with this current plan of no flying, you're going to want to pull out all your flying mounts, and you sitting around waiting all day for Pound Fist or whatever rad ground mount you found in this expansion is just going to sit there and not get used.
Yeah.
You know, you're just not going to care anymore. So it's a hard line they're walking with this whole mount thing. And I just think it only gets real fishy when they want you to buy flying mounts in an expansion time where you can't really use them effectively unless you fly back to Orgrimmar and fly around for no reason.
Yeah, I haven't missed it, except there was a couple times in the Grand where I wanted to get a treasure that I couldn't get to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that bugged me. And then there was one time in the Grand where I followed this big winding path trying to get where I needed to go, and it ended up leading to a dead end. And I was looking at spending maybe like 5 minutes backtracking just to try and find the right way to go around this mountain to get where I needed to go. Really, Negrand is the only.
You know, place you could write a book that says this time in Negrand, and it would be about all the things there that suck without flying, because there are moments mm-hmm. like that. And I swear I've been to that dead end you're talking about. Was that upper, like north, kind of all the elemental crap you got to do up there?
Yes.
That is mm-hmm. a terrible part of that zone.
That and the south down by the beach.
Durg.
So you know what that area is for? They have a lot of treasures there. And what you do, because if you could just fly, then there would be nothing, right? You fly and you get your treasure.
Right.
What you do is you stock up on gliders.
Yeah.
And then you go there with a gang of your buddies, try and get all the treasures.
Look, I'll use the feather more if they give that a shorter cooldown. That feather's amazing, but the cooldown is redonkulous. Yeah.
That feather saved my life.
Yeah, it's great. I love
it. There's your book.
I remember using it the first time and wasn't prepared for exactly what that thing would do. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Just shot up in the air like Neo. Like, whoa, I didn't know where to go because I didn't have a plan. So I just kind of went, oh, I'll go that way. And I just started floating down to wherever.
The worst is
fly
when
in Draenor someday.
Yeah, someday.
I definitely...
You really think so? Because there's still a lot of people saying there's no way, especially on the show even. And I kind of feel like it's someday, yes. Someday they will. And they've even said as much.
Like after the next expansion, maybe.
Sure. And they've said as much, but then they've retracted, and then they've said it kind of again, and then they've retracted. So I really don't know where their heads are at with it. But, you know, when a guy like Pardo, who I know is not at the company anymore, but when he says one of our greatest design flaws ever was introducing flying into the game, that says something to me, that they truly regret what it did to the gameplay and how they have to design around it. So,
it was a game changer.
We'll see how deep that regret goes, I suppose, in the future. Got a couple emails here as well. This one from Fest Yelf on Sourfang, who says this: "Hey guys, I've only started listening to the podcast. Love the discussion. You talked about other classes and the need for tanks. I think the main tank theory does get a bit stale. One tank sits there, another one swaps if needed. I missed the Gar fight where all the bosses' adds were banished, kited, etc. I almost read kilted, which would have been really cool. Put a kilt on him and send him on his way.
That'll show him.
Tectus is the only fight that comes close, but due to upheaval, it isn't possible to split mobs up. Man, that fight. I feel like we're good now, like our team. I think we got it, but man, that's a dance, that fight.
Just did it for the very first time last night.
Normal heroic or something, or what?
Yeah, normal.
Okay. Yeah, it's a hell of a thing. Once you get it down, though, it's maybe one of my favorite fights. I think it's really fun. I can't speak to tanks and melee, but at least for a ranged DPS, I think it's a lot of fun, that fight. It just takes forever to get your freaking head around it. What about a fight, he says, with boss adds that do low DPS damage, but close together, they hit much harder. Crowd control doesn't seem as relevant in current raids. I mean, I remember all the talk in... I guess it had been Pandaria, that CC was going to become the biggest deal ever and that everybody was going to finally get to CC their life away again. And I don't know that they really delivered on that promise. I feel like crowd control is kind of meh.
Why it's not relevant? Because everything's immune.
Yeah, that's true too. Well, that was the problem, especially in that expansion. It was like, yeah, don't worry, you're going to get to use it a ton. And then as soon as you start using it, immune. Like, wait a minute, I thought this was going to be useful. It's okay useful in some dungeons this time around.
It's good on trash.
Sure. But in the actual boss fights, there's no real value to any of it because nothing can nothing really can use it. Like, I'm trying to think of a boss fight where there isn't one. I can't think of one where I can use any CC in the fight. And that's too bad. I feel like there are opportunities there. Since everybody's got a decent CC now, does someone not have one? Every class has something that's okay.
So I think that's why they do it, right? Because the CC is the off tank.
Yeah.
Right? That's the...
I guess so.
But I wish we could. I wish the CC played a whole lot more.
Well, I wish there was just more for main tanks to do. I'm not speaking as a tank, but, you know, you just hear the strategies and you hear... So when do we swap tends to be the question for tanks. Like, without even knowing, it's just like, okay, well, we know the mechanic we're going to have to deal with is a swap. Mm-hmm. You know, threat,
yeah,
obviously still a thing, but not as big of a deal anymore. You know, we used to be a big worry for everybody. Now it's just kind of the tanks managing threat for a swap. I feel like they should give tanks a little bit more to do than just, okay, when do we swap and when do we use defensive cooldowns? I feel like that's
right.
That's kind of become the only thing they need to do.
Mm-hmm. The defensive, I was going to mention all the mitigation stuff. That's the other thing they have to do. And placement, right? You have to get stuff aimed the right place.
Yeah, I would agree.
But yeah, once you've done it a couple times, it kind of does. It kind of is stale.
John, what's the matter? You don't want to tank with your monk there? What's going on with that?
Well, I mean, Scott, I have found the perfect class, and it is Windwalker Monk.
Uh-huh.
It reminds me of my favorite Zelda game, and it is the most fun. Yeah. And there's no reason to mess with success.
It's funny you said that, because my favorite Zelda game, and also today when I'm done with the show, I'm gonna go play that game.
Oh yeah, that's right. I remember you got a Wii U not too long ago.
I did. I caved to the pressure mainly put on me by Corey Stockton at Blizzard, because he is all about that Nintendo business. And I thought, well, all right, fine. And I bought the remaster version of that, the HD version of Wind Waker, and cracked it open a little bit yesterday. Didn't have a ton of time, but I'm already back in. I can't wait to play more. It's such a great game.
Oh, my character's name, Ralph.
Yeah.
His last name. Do you know his last name?
Windwalker.
Yeah.
That's it, right?
One of those. Yep.
All
of them.
It's not Wind Waker, though. Ralph.
Walker.
Windwalker. That's it. Yep. Which makes no sense, because you have a cow, and he's too big to walk on wind. I mean, come on.
I know.
That's the Torrens. What's going on with that? All right. Hey, look, another email. What do you got here? We got one from Dark Washu. Or Wushu from Rune Totem, who says, "Hey guys, love the show and all that you do. While listening to episode 398 and the talk on the transition of longtime subscription games like WoW to eventual free-to-play models like SOTOR and ESO, it does offer easier incentives to bring in younger players who would otherwise not have the moment to invest in terms of monthly subscriptions." I think he meant money, not moment. While MOBAs are popular, you have to consider that just about every next-gen gaming console now requires a fee to play online. A one-year subscription to Xbox Live and PlayStation Network generally costs about $5 a month each if you purchase it on a one-year card. Could it be that younger players feel invested in console gaming and subscriptions rather than in the PC market? Thanks for being awesome. Dark Wushu. It's an interesting idea. I mean, the conversation last week was about ESO moving to this buy-at-once kind of Guild Wars 2 method, and then, you know, there's in-game stuff to pay for, but really you're just buying the game, and they were calling that pay-to-play, which is... We don't need a term for it. It's just buy a video game is what it should be called. And then the idea that, you know, on consoles, you don't see, you know, one of the reasons they may have gone to this model is because there you would have been expected to pay, for example, on a PlayStation Plus, or an Xbox Live, plus the cost of a monthly subscription to an MMO, and that people are unwilling to do that, which I still maintain is true. I know there are some games out there that defy that. I know the Final Fantasy thing is popular, blah, blah, I get it. But, and I think in those cases, I mean, somebody corrected me during the week and said PlayStation's not double charging you. Or in other words, if all you wanted to do was play Final Fantasy Online, it will just charge you that. You don't have to have Plus to do that, I think is the deal. Anyway, I don't know. I still think that I still think there's a generation gap happening. And I don't know exactly where it starts or ends. But I do know that my kids, my son's age, who's 14, are way less interested. They're way more interested in big sandbox games, things like Minecraft, DayZ, whatever, than they are in crafted, story-driven, lore-soaked experiences like World of Warcraft. And I don't know where that comes from or why that's that way, if it's just a passing trend or if it's just their little age group. but there does seem to be a big difference, and they are not driven to pick up a game like WoW and pay a monthly fee to play it. And I don't think they're all that driven to even play free-to-play versions of these games, because it doesn't represent the genre that they're so steeped in right now.
I think we're going to get to a place where you see kind of this adoption of, I pay for services, I don't pay for games. And I wouldn't be surprised if eventually we get there, even with Blizzard, where maybe you pay for a Battle.net premium account, something like that. Forget the WoW subscription and say, okay, well, if you get the Battle.net premium, you get access to all our games, you get these incentives, you know, maybe you get a couple Hearthstone packs a month, you get these characters in Heroes of the Storm, you get a WoW subscription, you know, and you're paying essentially for Battle.net as a platform, as opposed to I'm paying a WoW subscription.
Yeah. You're seeing even Microsoft move to this model. Windows 10 is being sold more as a service now.
And Office 365.
Sure. OS 10 has been doing essentially that for a while now. I mean, OS upgrades are free. It feels like that is where everything is headed, and why not games? And Blizzard's one of the few companies that has an entire platform with a stable of experiences that they could leverage in that way, as opposed to, say, I don't know, I guess EA and Ubisoft and others have the same power, but you know, the only other real player in that would be something like Steam or something, where they may partner with others to do this. But, you know, it's not going to be easy for some individual developer to say, hey, play Rogue Legacy as a service. You know, they're not going to do that. But I don't think you're wrong. I think we're headed there. Blizzard will get there one day, one way or the other. And I bet they have really interesting meetings at a very high level about what is Overwatch going to be. I saw that Reddit thing this weekend about supposedly some leaked stuff about how that's all going internally. And a lot of it sounds like a bunch of bunk. But, you know, will Blizzard ever be a company that can put out a $49 game with nothing to look forward to except expansions, and this just the model? I don't know if they do that anymore, or who does that anymore, other than small indie games, you know, the $15 experiences here and there. But the big stuff, like big continual things, things like Madden, Call of Duty, those are headed there, whether we like it or not. That is where those things are headed. And I don't even know if the publishers like that idea or not, but eventually Madden is a service, not a game.
Yeah, I have a question for you both, actually, kind of in that same vein. When you saw the announcement for Overwatch, was there ever a moment where you thought this is going to be a $50 or $60 game? Or did you kind of assume right away, like, I wonder what the pay model is going to be, because clearly the game is going to be free?
Yeah, my immediate reaction was, the comparisons everybody was making visually and gameplay-wise to Team Fortress, I think, were wrong. I don't think it played anything like Team Fortress. The comparison for me was the pay model. To me, it was like, oh, yeah, this will be their Team Fortress, in that it will be a free-to-play game, and you'll buy outfits, hats, and other characters, a la kind of Heroes of the Storm style. I still, to this day, even though I've heard rumblings to the contrary, that they would rather it be a standalone experience and then expansions, none of which I can say are firm bits of real information. But despite all that, I still think they go the Heroes model. How can they not in today's market? I mean, even Blizzard kind of has to make that decision. If it's really truly going to be this bastion of competitive play and focused on tournament style play, you're making a shooter that's basically a MOBA in the pay model sense. You know, nobody can make a competitive shooter and say, like Call of Duty, they could not just say, here's the multiplayer game for $59. See you later. They're never going to do that. The reason there's a campaign in there is so that they can keep selling it as a big seller. And actually, the reason I like to play those games is because of the campaign. So I'm glad they do. But if you're just going to make a competitive multiplayer game with no like campaign in it, you can't do it anymore the other way. And what are MOBAs if not that? They're basically that. They're a different, you know, they're different mechanics and whatever, but it's the same idea.
And I think that's right. It's the gaming profile, right? So if you're like the way people play WoW, right? If you typically get on, you'll be online for a while, right?
Yeah.
And you have characters that you've had, you know, some of us for 10 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So paying a monthly fee makes sense in that environment. But if you have a game, even like Diablo, where you pop on, play for 20 minutes, and then maybe you'll play it again later in the week, you don't want to be paying a subscription for that.
No. No. Although with Diablo, I'll do anything they tell me to do. But yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. But I also think there's this other thing. It's kind of a reverse tipping point, which is the people that play MMOs now are older gamers for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And so the young people are like, well, why do I want to go play WoW? That's what my parents play.
Yeah. Yeah. They do see it that way. I mean, Nick's a little bit different in that he really likes it, thinks it's awesome, loves to hear what I'm doing in it, but he's not motivated to play it at all. And he just wants to do, you know, like right now he's trying to, I mean, they just want to create stuff. And this is the play. This is the stuff where Blizzard needs to get on the ball, I think. I think they're one of the few big developers that don't have at least something in the works that is all about player-created content. Because if they don't get on that ball, I think they're going to miss out.
What you do is you have Nick make the better Everbloom that doesn't suck.
Yeah. How about that? Yeah. Less crap on the ground I can't see. We got final email here from Exigency. Sure. I don't know. He says this. Hello, Scott Dills, the T, and Patrick, and our two guests today. I have a suggestion in regards to a call from episode 398. The caller made the suggestion of scaling all dungeons and that way get a larger pool of dungeons during leveling. So we talked about, like, take everything from the history of the game and you could at any level hop in and play whatever dungeon you wanted. While a cool idea, you guys said it's a ton of work, makes sense. My thought is if you took a Rift, they have a mentoring system. If you look at Rift, can't read today. The system allows you to lower your level and play with friends at that level. I would rather have this in WoW than scaling. The system allows veteran players to play with new friends and guildies. Love to hear your thoughts. Thanks. Yeah, I remember this. I actually kind of, Ralph, like in Guild Wars 2.
Guild Wars 2 is the real model for this.
I agree, yeah.
City of Heroes had a similar thing where you could sidekick or exemplar to kind of level up to play with your friends. Mm-hmm. And Rift, they did add in a mentoring system. But what happened in Guild Wars 2 was every dungeon, every zone had an intrinsic level. Yeah. And if you were above that level, it brought you down to it. But the XP and stuff that you got was still commensurate to be worthwhile, right? You could still level up.
Yeah, if you did a bunch of zones and just the questing zones and you were like, yeah, I'm sick of this area, I want to go somewhere else, you could go find, like, you could be level 30 and you could go find a level 7 to 12 zone, right, and clear that zone and have it be hard and have XP be what it should be. And
it's not as hard as if you went there when you could just barely get there.
Right.
But it's still challenging. And what you couldn't do is take a level 30 character and go into a level 80 zone.
Right.
But yeah, you could play with your friends. And basically what that means is everybody's going to go to where their new friends are, their mm-hmm. low-level friends.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why when I was playing Guild Wars 2, I would purposely not complete zones, right? Because I wanted to be able to go there later with a friend.
Right. And thankfully there were branching paths, so you could go do that. You could go to a place where you did 10 to 15 somewhere else and they are doing 10 to 15 in a new place. You could go there and do that with them. And it was still hard and you were kind of all, you know, at the same level. And it wasn't like you were one-shotting anything and you got rewards for it. Like I thought that was a pretty sweet system. Now, fundamentally, it was cooked into the game. So what we're talking about here is a retrofit, how to deal with that. There are many questions and challenges involved with doing anything in a game this old. But in their case, the benefit was they started that way. That's the day one the scaling was in place. And I agree with you. That is kind of the model and a pretty good use of it.
Well, think about how a lot of people do dungeons in WoW. They will wait until they're about 5 levels as you're leveling, right?
Mm-hmm.
They might say, I'm going to wait until I'm like 5 levels higher than the dungeon, get a bunch of other people, and we'll go back there and we'll get the achievements and stuff, but it won't be super hard.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I miss those
days.
You
can't do that. Can't do that in Guild Wars.
Nope. You're screwed.
Which I kind of think is cool. I this idea of playing all the content when you're over-leveled is fun, but I think it takes away from some of the gameplay.
Yeah, I agree. Did you play that game at all, John?
Yeah, I actually really liked Guild Wars 2, although it's funny because I'm on the complete opposite end of the spectrum with regards to dungeons and raids. One of my favorite things to do in WoW, in fact, one thing I'm super excited about on the PTR, is that they're doing more of that raiding with leashes where you go back into an old raid and now the bosses are dropping pets and you can get pets from it. Right. I love going back and soloing old dungeons. Mm-hmm. I think it is one of my favorite things to do in the game. On the flip side to that, I also have had a lot of people come into the game where it's like, I want to hang out with them, but I don't necessarily want to start a new tune all over, you know, and I want to play on my main character, and it would be cool if I could go and hang out with them and actually participate and actually feel like I'm contributing rather than just standing there and watching or feel like I'm doing all the work and they're not getting a fun game to play.
They'd have to
thought they were going to do something this time with all the things they were doing to get old players back.
Yeah.
I really thought there was going to be something in place like that.
Like you could toggle it or something. And you'd almost have to, because what they've got, this is the problem with not starting out with it that way. And they've got people like you who love doing that old content solo. You know, you want to go kill Deathwing on your own, you can, and there's good reasons to do it, transmog, pets, whatever. It'd be in this particular case, they cannot take that. That is an aspect of the game that people like. So to take that away would be a mistake. They would have to make this a toggle, or as soon as I group up, a window popped up and says, if you group with this person, do you want to be their level? Or, you know, whatever the wording is? Yes. Now you're on the same playing field.
And if you do it, you get the benefit. You'll get XP and stuff. So mm-hmm. It's not for no benefit.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think there's a way to do both is what I'm saying, I guess. But here's my prediction. They won't. You'll never get that. That's my prediction. I just think
it's bringing everybody down.
Yeah, but. Yeah. I don't want to ruin your day.
I think you're right. If we didn't get it this time, I don't think we're gonna.
Yeah, this would have been the time. You're right, because this was so focused on let's get people back in this game, and now not so much. Well, it's been a hell of a good time today. That's the end of our show, by the way. Thank you all for being here and listening to us. You guys were rad for hanging out with us. John, tell people where they can find you and your rad podcast.
Well, if people want to hear more from me, I am the co-host on Azeroth Roundtable. You can also follow me on Twitter at Revendon.
Yeah.
And you can find the show at azerothroundtable.com.
And you can't raid with us because we're capped at 30 and there's no room left. So
yeah.
Take that, everybody. Ralph, what are you up to? Anything people can follow you doing?
I say smarmy things on Twitter at Ralphie, R-A-L-L. Sorry, R-A-L-F-F-I-E.
Yeah.
And I do a little podcast with our friends Kim and Johnny Feisty about catching up with Doctor Who, because I had never seen it, and I tricked them into watching it with me. And we just got done with season 5.
Oh, gosh. Of the new thing, right?
Of the new stuff, yeah. So we started basically just about a year ago, and we've gotten through season 5, so we have a couple more to go. If you want to see it, they were at catchingup.tv. And now I'm a Doctor Who expert.
That's awesome. Totally amazing. So go check that out. Also, he is one of the council members, a.k.a. leaders of our guild. And we couldn't do it without him. Our guild is unwieldy and huge. And Ralph provides solace with his presence or something. And both these guys are really good Diablo players, so you may catch them in there as well. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. Theinstance.net is our website. Please go check that out. The show notes for today's episode will be there. Our theme was created by Matthew Oxley. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can, at Scott Johnson. The show is at Instance Show. More great shows just like this at frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us, for me and my guests. We'll see you next time.
Blizzard hears the siren call of social media. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. Although our time in Azeroth has paralleled the rise of social media, the two have remained largely separate realms. That is about to change, however, with the news that WoW will soon allow adventurers to tweet their accomplishments. But rumors are now afoot that Blizzard is planning on creating their own social media networks, the better to keep players from looking elsewhere for their camaraderie fix. The first indication of this was the revelation that a selfie camera will be included in the upcoming patch. As the data miners poured through this patch, they uncovered references to several previously unknown destinations for those selfies. For example, if you take a picture of a boss wipe, you will be able to post it to the commiseration site Instaware. On PvP realms, the selfie camera will automatically record the last 6 seconds before you get ganked, which can then be uploaded to www.qq.com, a site to be known as Wine. The final site is for selfies of raid teams standing over their boss kills with comments on boss strategies. The name of this one-stop how-to shop? www.deadit.com. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at overlydramaticnews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Hey, this is Code Monkey from the Airy Peak Server Alliance, responding to the discussion that you guys had on the most recent instance regarding leveling through dungeons. I really like the idea. I actually have 10 or 11 ults, and right now I've got 8 of them sitting in their garrisons getting XP through the follower missions. But the other 3, I am leveling through running through dungeons. And one of the concerns that I would have about scaling dungeons so that low-level guys can run through high-level dungeons and high-level guys can run through low-level dungeons is the dungeon quests. That's actually a very non-trivial portion of the XP that I get in the dungeons. And right now, if I run through sequentially every dungeon at level that I can, I can pretty much make it up to Northrend before having to repeat dungeons. And if I part of that is the XP. If I rejiggered that so that I'm not able to get those dungeon quests, then I could see having repeats, and for somebody like me, who is a completionist, at least about getting the dungeon quest sorted out, that would be a little bit wonky to me. So that's another complication that I think is going to prevent this from actually going to place. And to be honest, I'd rather them spend the time at getting new content or dealing with stuff. Anyway, love the show. Thank you very much. Bye.
Hey, Scott, and any other co-hosts who decided to scrape the raft out of bed and actually co-host the show. I was listening to one of your shows, and I think there was a conversation that came up about hybrid classes. And I was thinking one way that Blizzard might be able to utilize hybrid classes better as opposed to pure DPS or pure tanking classes is to have kind of like a spec dancing kind of class with hybrids, where if you had, say, a paladin who could heal, tank, and DPS, instead of them having to choose one spec and to go into an instance, they'd essentially be able to be the jack of all trades of their class, of their spec, but be master of none. So essentially they'd be really utilitarian, where if, say, they were DPSing and one of their healers died or they needed extra healing, he could quickly, in the middle of a battle, swap to his healing spec and have just kind of a limited amount of spells he could use in order just to kind of support the pure healer. Or maybe a main tank or a secondary tank died, he could slip into his tanking spec and fill full a group need at any moment. Let me just thought, or I think it'd be kind of a cool way for hybrid class, and not as far as being hybrid, instead of having to stick with one spec, they could learn how to essentially swap mid-battle between any of their other different specs. Let me know what you think. Talk to you later. Bye.
Greetings, Instance Crew. This is Pangor from Area 52. I wanted to talk about your discussion about low-level dungeons. How about instead of the dungeon scaling with the player scales down to the dungeons? I currently play Final Fantasy XIV, and a level 25 character queue for dungeons, and it'll put them in a level 25 or lower dungeons. Or a level 50 character, which is the cap, can queue for lower level dungeons, and it will give them currency needed to do for high level gear. It scales down your character level, it scales down your equipment, and even disables abilities that aren't available at that level. Thanks for the show, and bye.
Revan Geek and Noggin Fogger Elixir present Real Azrothian Heroes.
Real Azrothian Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. I'm All About That Bass Joke Maker.
Mr. I'm All About That Bass Joke Maker.
Blizzard knew just how to hook us with Warlords of Draenor by giving us our own little corner of the map. This land is my land. In guild chat, in general chat, even in trade chat, people are talking about what they're doing. Mining, herbing, follower questing, and they sum it up with, I'm all about that base. Yes, you've boiled down the expansion and all of the varying features that your garrison can provide your playing experience to a body-affirming pop song. It's an earworm you can't escape. So crack open an ice-cold noggin fogger elixir, you treble-denying, iron horde-defying, we're still not flying, the joke's so funny we're crying. Use the bank to hold your booty at night. Mr. I'm all about that base joke maker. Follow me on Twitter at RevanGeek, hear old episodes at RevanGeek.blogspot.com, and subscribe to RevanGeek's Parody Palace and I Remembered It Better on iTunes.
Welcome. This is Dederin. For this week's Ask a Magus, I would like to address a controversy ahead of this year's Super Punt 2015. Yes, I mean Deflategate. The accusation of deflated gnomes during the last championship game. We here at the Gnome Punting League are investigating every little bit of evidence. Although it is at the convenience of our couch, while we're watching Dr. What and counting all the money that's coming in from Super Punt. But I assure you, we will get to the bottom of this sometime this year, and deal with things at an appropriate level. I hope everybody here has patience and have a fun Super Punt. Thank you for listening.
I love my fire mage. With every mob I bake, when I'm throwing fireballs and igniting things, here's a pyroblast. It was free to cast. It's sure a joy to me to burn my enemies. Let's hit the dungeon queue. I wanna burn, the mobs are surely screwed. I wanna cook them all, flame strike until the end. Cast living bomb that ticks away. I'm on a hot streak on their fate. I sure like it when they run away. I love my fire mage. With every mob I beat, when I'm throwing fireballs and burning things, here's a pyroblast. It was free to cast. It's sure a joy to me to burn my enemies. Yeah. Just a pyromaniac. It burns in my soul. I throw inferno blast cause it's critical, and there it procs again. I'm stunning mobs, yeah, I blast away. Dragging breath up in their face. Spamming scorch as I run away. I love my fire maze. With every mob I beat, when I'm throwing fireballs and burning things, is a pyroblast. It was free to cast. It's sure a joy to me. I love my fire mage. With every mob I beat, when I'm throwing fireballs. Well, here's a pyroblast. It was free to cast. It's sure a joy to me. To burn my head.
Arcana's best, Frost Tops DPS. I'm not listening, having too much fun. I love my fire mage. With every mob I beat, when I'm throwing fireballs and igniting things, here's a pyroblast. It was free to cast. It's sure a joy to me. It's sure a joy to me. Every mob I beat.
Ginger the Mage here.
And I'm Ben the Mage.
Ben, did you see the news?
No.
Oh, I can't believe you aren't paying attention.
I am. I always try and follow it. What are you talking about?
Ben. But Ben, didn't you see that Battle Pets are the big new thing that Blizzard is focusing on? They are giving the pets gear, they are giving them weapons, they are giving the pets professions, the garrison is going to have tiny little buildings, and the trainers with at least 5 level 25 pets get ice cream sent to their house from Irvine.
Aludra, that's in the PTR. You know that that's never true until it's actually in-game.
What? But... oh, I want ice cream, and I want to be an in-game pet vendor with ice cream!
While Aludra dries her tears in heaps of ice cream, make sure to check out Battle Pets, episode 59, No News is Meh News, where we talk about boss battles, spore bats, and rather surprising team building.
Why, Ben? Why would you destroy my dreams?
Revenge.
Rumkar, and welcome to Ask Miss Mulgrew, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is... what kind of condolences should I offer for my cousin, who was killed in a training dummy accident? Condolences are an important way to comfort the families of our brave Horde members gloriously felled in battle with the... wait a minute. Your cousin was killed by a training dummy? How is that even possible? All right, very funny. Who sent me this question? Is this another advice giver's quality control check? I mean, really? What? This really happened? Very well. if you must console... when someone is killed... by a... by a turning dummy... oh boy! Oh, this is a good one. Just called them a noob and rage quit the funeral. I am Miss Mulgrew, and that is my advice. Come a gosh! Follow at Miss Mulgrew on Twitter or listen to previous episodes at missmulgrew.com.
Is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.